So David F. Compulsive Gambler, May 10th of 97. This is not a story. This is my life, what happened to David in his before he gambled and how he found serenity, loveless, forgiveness. So anyways, it started years ago when I was 8 years old, and we played remotely, nickels, dimes, quarters, and you know, I didn't feel anything about that. I thought it was fun. And next, I talk about family. One day, I said to my father, I'd like to go to wrestling. I know what it is, but it's, to me, it's entertainment, whatever. And he said I didn't make money today. He had a clothing store. 10 minutes later, my oldest brother came in and says, "Dad, I need $20. I'm going to take out a Jewish girl." He gave him the money. And that really hurt me. And then in 1956, my brother Lou graduated as a lawyer. And he said, my dad said, "Oh, I'm going on a trip. You behave yourself and I'll give you a scooter." Same situation. So I had no life. I had grade 9 education, went to 10 in the front door, out the back door. And I was on the streets all my life until I found Karen. And on the streets, it was lie, steal, rob people, do anything to get money. And this word came in. And when I was 12 years old, I'm going to cry a little bit. When I was 12 years old, I was walking down the zoo and a lady asked me to come up, 12, and we had sex. And I, for years and years, I didn't know what it was. Then I finally realized I was raped. And then I went to a college in Saskatoon, Canada. No, yeah, anyways. I get there, and all of a sudden they say to me, "David, no, my nickname is Butch. I'm named after a dog." We can laugh about that. Anyways, they tell me it's 40 below. I want you to get in your shorts, 2 pails of water, one in each hand, and walk down to the where we eat. Sometimes I lose it, and I did. But I froze to death. I froze. So I get in the room and they paddled me. What a life I had. And they paddled me. And you know, I think why? And you know, this world is different. But I think because I was Jewish and the only Jewish person there. Then I left there. And I came back to Calgary and things happened and I started in where I was first, I told you, and I learned to play snooker and I got pretty good. You know, everybody wanted to stay away from me, but every time I played, guess what? I was a loser all the time. I lose, lose, lose. But if I cheated, I was a winner. And I did. I remember coming into the pool room. There's a guy from up north. And I said to him, "You want to play a little bit?" He says, "Yeah." We started with $10. And I'm playing with him. Oh, boy. By the way, I cheated. I took balls out and put them back in or out. Oh, at the end of the day, it took 10 hours. I beat him for $1,500. No, it was a lot of money. Guess where I went? I went to the poker room downstairs. I sat there and with two hands, I lost it all. Then I asked the who was running it. I need cigarettes and a glass of milk. He give me $5. What did that get me? Milk. Now I go out, and where do I get money for food? I go into a restaurant, ask the lady for hot water, and she gave me the hot water. There was a ketchup bottle there. Pour it out. That's my meal, soup. And then it, something else happened. I was home and I found a guy that would, and he was a pimp. And I went to him and I asked him for some, oh, you can stay here. You can stay here. It's fine. So I was anxious to get ask him for money. But then he said to me, David, here's the situation. I'll give you $500. Go to Vancouver and pick up a package out of the door in where in the bus depot. You know, I was street smart. Smart. Hey, there's something going on here. I said, no, thank you. Even for $500, I had that inclination. He went, picked up the dope, and got 12 years in jail. Up there, it's taking care of me at that time. But I didn't want to stop. I had no desire. I just wanted to do it for the gambling. That's all it was. One day, lots of days, I was homeless. And the homeless brought me into rooms of cockroaches, wires on top, getting into a car, excuse me, getting into a car on the train and going to a different city and don't know why I got there. Had no idea. And then I met my first wife and I cheated on her. First job ever. I had a driving truck, stole off. It was just a continuous getting money to gamble. And then as it got worse, never better. Really did. It got so bad that I hated myself. I'm going back a little bit. At 10 years old, I got ulcers, duodenal ulcers. At 15, they took them out, half my stomach. And my grandfather, my Zeta, died on when I was on the table. So I didn't have contact with my family. And all of a sudden, I phoned my mother. I said, "Hi, Mom." She said, "Okay." Nobody in my family said one word. I love you. Two words. So I kept on. My father died when I was 27. Aneurysm. And then I got, after I divorced my first wife, I got a job in a poker room begging for money so I can gamble. Went on welfare. That was something. Every month I got 70 bucks. Holy moly! What am I going to do with it? I go gamble. Still on the streets. And as the time went on, and I got in contact with my second older brother, who is a lawyer, he said to me, "Butch, get back in the family. I'll give you a job with my oldest brother." So I did. But guess what? I was still gambling. I stole from my brother. And his life went on with him. And I got the job with my brother. And now coming with Karen. I had a cousin in Toronto, and I went to Toronto and I was looking for a Jewish girl. Couldn't find a highfalutin, whatever. And then my cousin says, "I got a girl for you in Winnipeg." So I went and she asked me, "What am I going to wear?" I said, "A red carnation. I come there, I'm wearing striped pants and plaid shirt. And she laughed at me. So we were together. We got met in July and got married in October. But the gambling was still there. I got a job in the pawn shop, stole, gamble. And then one day with Karen, I never had a bank account, never had cards, nothing. But when I was business, I could go to a bank and they would give me some. So I went to the bank and borrowed $500 to gamble. What else? And I'm in the tub, and Karen says to me, "What's this $500 you borrowed?" I says, "I cried, I don't know." And she said to me, "Enough is enough. I heard about this GA something." So she found it. You know how she found it? Through AA. There was no hotline, there was no thing. So I went to this meeting. And people were laughing. I said, "What's this laughing?" But David didn't want to stop. It took me a long time to realize my life is terrible. My life was so bad. Going into a hotel, slot machines, sitting there, somebody comes in, and I shared with him. Next day, I says, "I'm a fool. I'll gamble." Had a year. Went between my arms like this, my head, and I cried. From that day on, I did for 20 years, I did work there. But I realized once I was there was cliques. There was no camaraderie. There was not, they never read the 20 questions. They never read constituted gambling. And I left. And I went to my first GA meeting in the United States in San Francisco. I did everything the right way, the GA way. I chaired meetings. I come with ideas, somebody tell in their lives. I brought in the 20 questions, all this kind of stuff. No, the 20 questions were there. I was there for 5 years. Then I went to New York. And I came into this room, and it was a hybrid. It was okay. But there was somebody there. He had 30 years. He says, "Go to this room in New York City." And I went. It changed my life 180%. And I put my name in for in the phone, and two three people phoned me. And from that day on, I changed to be a better man. I learned to listen, to learn to people. I can't write, I can't read. I can read the yellow book. That's it. Never read a book in my whole life. But I learned that what's this program about? It's about David. It's about David making these changes in my life. David looking after my family. David talking to people in GA. David forgive himself, love himself. You know, and this is my program. And I wanted to tell you, I want to cry about this. I had a family situation last week. And it was with my daughter. We had, she never came to parties of a situation with like 50 years of things. She never came, maybe twice in 4 years. So I went to her, and this is wrong, but it happened. I yelled at her. And then the next day, Karen texted her because she never answers the phone and told her, "David makes amends to you. He's sorry." And yesterday, I'm sitting at the table playing cards with my wife. And all of a sudden, why did I do this? And this is true, I'm crying. Because why did I do this? And guess what? Where did I go? I phoned my dearest friend who's helped me, and she said, gotta, this person has got not much time, less than a year. And we talked, and she made me feel better. That's how I grow. I can't grow myself. I can't call Joe Schmo from Idaho. I can only phone a member who knows what it's like. People say, do you have a sponsor? How can I have a sponsor if I don't read and write? But I talk to GA members. I look after what has to be done. To me, I share a lot of times. I don't, how can I get into recovery? What is wrong in my stomach? What's wrong in my mind? I have to share. I don't care if I share and just say, I'm David F., compulsive gambler. This is my day. It's my day. I don't have to worry about anybody else. It's me. It's me. And how do I get this life to better? There's no graduation. Life is too short. I'm 85. I got health issues. And what do I do with those health issues? I get into action. I don't say, poor me, poor me. I did that when I was gambling. And life is what you put in is what you put out. And the desire to stop gambling, that's the only desire. I gotta stop. And I gotta do what I have to do. Anything to stop gambling and clear my mind and be a loving father. Karen, 52 years. Tara, my oldest. Marnie, my youngest. And I got a great grandson. What a blessing. If I was out gambling, what would I have? Nothing. Tell you a sentence. Went to the casino. I had $80 playing the machine. And by the way, I think that's the crack cocaine of our disease. But anyways, my friend came in and was sharing. All of a sudden, I get in with $10 to be even. What does my mind say? Oh, I can do it. Lost it all back. Lady took it. I yelled at her. And that's what happens. Being in a bowling alley, 20 lanes, run to 20 lanes to, the slot machines. Run back. Run back. That's idiotic. That's stupid. A friend of mine told me this. Number one, if you get angry, take 40 seconds out, 10 seconds, and think, who are you going to hurt more? The person you're yelling at or yourself? Me. That's part of it. And looking, there's so many traits in this disease that you have to work on. But you can't, I can't do it every day of my life. I pick one, I work on that for me. I don't go on and on and on. I can't write. I only look at today. That's all I got is today. So I work on one thing a day, or 3 days, or 5 days, one thing. It helps me. It helps me to be with serenity. Never know that word. Serenity, peace in my mind, peace in my heart, peace for my family, peace for the GA members. I can't do this program with the camaraderie, with the phone calls from the heart of mine in the people in these rooms. That's how I get recovered. I'll never be perfect. Nobody in the world is perfect. I don't care. where I don't go about anything else but what David can do, what my fellow members in GA, they all love me. I love them. Where would I have been out there with the misery I had? Nothing. But I got for me what is unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's I had a friend to me, and he's gone. I love him to heart. I miss him. He would phone me at 7 o'clock in the morning. David, how are you? What's doing? And then one day I had a problem. 4 o'clock in the morning. I phoned him. What do you think he said? Go away? I don't want to talk to you. It's too early. No. He talked to me. He phoned me the next day back. This is what GA brought me. And, I could have committed suicide. Oh my God. I talked for 20 minutes. And I just, my heart is so good today because what I got out. You put nothing out, you get nothing. I got it. Well, Winda, Dan, thank you. Tony, thank you. Thank you, Denise. In my right hand was yesterday. In my left hand, it's tomorrow. It's a mystery. I don't know what's going to happen. And all I got is today. I love myself. And by the way, I don't get a coin for graduation. It's only today, a lovely day, because I'm not gambling. One more thing. When I was gambling, I was a loser. When I'm in recovery, I'm the best that I could be, one day at a time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back for sure. Just take it easy. Don't rush. It'll come. Thank you.
Thank you so much, David. That was a really powerful share. It really was. And I know so much more about you. I really do. It's powerful. Man, it was deep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now we have the questions and answer part, and we start up now with Luca.
David, Luca, compulsive gambler. Thank you for your share. I could relate to you a lot, also for your younger years that you described. And I just want to let you know, like I would feel safe and secure when you speak. So you give some warmth to me, and I appreciate it dearly. Thanks for such a gift.
Thank you, Luca. I love you. You're muted, Denise.
You got it. There you go.
Okay. Let me see. Who was next? Sh Charlotte?
No, we got Corrine next, then Charlotte, then Larry. So
All right, go
welcome,
ahead,
Corrine.
Corrine. I'm sorry. I thought there was a.
No worries.
Go ahead, Corrine. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Hi, Corrine, compulsive gambler. Mr. David, you brought tears to my eyes. I am only 53 days in this program, and this is, I think, my second or third with some of these people in this group since Friday, but so touching, so vulnerable for you to share everything with all of us. I'm still in the feeling my feelings. So you really touched me. And I keep saying that I started gambling at 18, but you made me think when you said about playing the nickels when you were younger. And I think I started gambling when I was playing for marbles for candy, if I go the way the GA program is teaching me. So you literally brought me from tears to a smile. I'm just so blessed that I got on this meeting today and that I had the opportunity to hear you speak. So thank you so very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. One day at a time. We go.
All right, Charlotte.
Thank you so much, Denise, for taking the meeting. Thank you so much for the co-host. Mr. Chip has gone to Hollywood. That's all I can say. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I was transported to an old James Cagney film when you start sharing. What a long life you've had, prolonged by Gamblers Anonymous. I just wonder how you lasted 20 years around no structured GA up in Canada, just good pals sitting around, swapping the gambling table for camaraderie table. I wonder how you survived that. May I ask?
Certainly. First of all, it's a GA room. But the GA room, in every GA room, it's different. They're all different in certain ways. Even in this room, they're different. So I had to think about what's going on and think about it's all about me. I can't. When they have these cliques and all that stuff, at the end of the day, I can't control. But I said enough is enough, and I left. And the world changed for me because there's more help out there than there was there. But here, I'll give you an instance. I was telling a story about somebody playing solitaire. The host said to me, "You gambled." I went to the trustee. You know what she said to me? She said, "You got to change." So that's part of it. But I survived because I wanted to. Thank you, Charlotte. I love you.
I love you very much too. I could only stomach it for 2.5 years and I left the local GA like that. So your constitution is that of an ox. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. All right, Larry K.
Thank you very much, David. Thank you so much for your share. It was awesome. One of the things that I learned and I want to ask you about is there's really no right and wrong way. There's a 17-page guide, and people work it differently. I could totally relate to, what you talked about. My early years in GA, I didn't work steps, but I didn't gamble for 7 years. Your initial story, it's like I forget the pain. What you described brought me right back to the incomprehensible demoralization, the crazy shit we did to gamble. It is unbelievable. And I forget about it. That's why I relapsed so many times. I went to my first meeting in 73, and I've been coming in and out for over 50 years. But what I want to ask you is, living here in Vegas, moved here to Vegas 30 years ago. And I had a sponsor, Mike I. Not sure if you ever met him in the travels, in your travels. He for over 40 years went to meetings every day, and he did not know how to read and write, and he had somebody take the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he that's where he learned about GA. And I'm just wondering if cross addiction, alcohol, or drugs were ever part of your story, and if you ever utilized the AA program at all in your GA recovery. But thank you so much.
First of all, I don't drink. I got I got drunk maybe two times in my life. And it's everybody's life, how they live. Okay, to me, I don't understand alcohol. You know, it's like we're different, in my opinion. We can't see it. It's only in the mind. You drink, you take dope, all that. I experienced dope once in my life, but I was on the toilet and I thought I was finished. I was there 3 hours or this. So I don't understand it. I only understand about gambling. That's my worst thing in my life was this disease, which can't be cured one day, only one day at a time. You can work on it. Thank you, Larry. Love you.
So much. Thank you, David.
All right, George C.
David, thanks for the share, and thanks for reminding me to take care of myself as you were talking about when you're drinking the water and taking your medicine. What I wanted to ask you was, did you fear joining GA and actually work in the program?
Did I fear? I didn't get that,
Did you
George.
fear Gamblers Anonymous, and did you fear actually working the program?
Well, you know, when you gamble 46 years out of your life and you come in and didn't want to stop, you know, I thought it was when I went to Gamblers Anonymous the first time. I thought they would lend me money, you know, and I never had the fear. As I progressed in my life, I wanted to stop. Why would I have to? I'm not contradicting you, George, but the feeling of fear only came when I was gambling. I wanted to get better in my life. That's what I do every day of my life. I'm not gambling today. I get up in the morning, I say it's automatically in my head, I'm not gambling. Do I want to destroy my life or do I want to have a better life one day at a time? So thank you for that, George. I see you all the time. I love you. I see everybody. I love everybody in this room. You've given me hope and strength to be David. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, Benjamin. Come on in, Benjamin.
Hey, Denise, thank you for the meeting. David, thank you for that share. I've heard you share dozens of times in this meeting, and I've always appreciated your shares. I suppose the question that I wanted to ask is how important you think reaching out and calling other GA members is. I'm coming up on 90 days next Tuesday. God willing, I'll have 90 days, one day at a time, of course. And I think I don't necessarily reach out to people and just like cold call, you know, my buddy Dan or something, and be like, hey, let's chop it up and talk for a little bit. So I guess this is my question. How important do you think that is to reach out to other members? Is it a daily practice, every other day?
Well,
Anyway, thank you.
okay. I believe page 17 says, use the phone list. If you use your phone list, even if it's about a family member, a friend, something happens. It doesn't happen every day, but contact friends once a day. You have somebody that you feel good. You can talk to him, phone that member. And by the way, this text and all these other things, I haven't got a clue. But I phone people, I phone people. They don't answer, what can I do? I can't do others' lives. But I do it in my heart and mind. That's a recovery for David. I can't do it alone. You know, you phone somebody who anybody, and try and find a sponsor. I said, I don't have a sponsor. But it's great. They can lead you from step one to step 12. I do step 12 all the time. Try to help me. That's my what I have to do. Thank you. And I love you.
All right.
And keep Here coming comes back. Dan.
Come on, Dan.
Well, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Denise. What a, and thank you, Denise, for hosting and Tony and Claire and everybody helping and keeping this room safe. And David, I've got to say, I'm very impressed. I was listening. I would actually listen to as much as I could. I was working the background here, but I can't wait to, I always say this, but I can't wait to hear it when it's on tape and I have the time and the space and the quiet that I can listen to it and get everything out of it. But
and I can hardly hear you. You sound so low.
Talk about, how about anybody else? Is that better or?
Yes,
that's
okay, I'm sorry, Denise, I must not have been talking into the speaker and I'm looking away here, so let me look straight at you. What an incomprehensible demoralization can possibly, you can describe it any better than that, you know? The depths of the misery that I felt and heard from you, I could relate to so much deep into the core of my heart. It's important that I hear this again, and I get reminded of it, of where I can end up if I decide to do just one stupid move to go buy a ticket or to go place a bet somewhere, to give up everything that's in my life today for that. Listen, as a compulsive gambler, believe it or not, I could possibly do that. That's how crazy this whole thing is. But to hear the consequences and to hear the story pushes me back quite a little bit as far as me wanting to go back today. And that's what's so important about these meetings. And that's why I keep coming back to hear the message, because my message is my mind. It's compulsive gambling mind. It's all over the place. It's going to want to take me into the places I'm not supposed to go. But you also mentioned something very important here was a connection with others, you know, and how to connect with things. So I'm very impressed. I'm very happy. And thank you so much for sharing with us. I'm sad that you had to go through everything that you go through. I'm sad that I had to go through everything I had to go through, but that's not the point here. The point is we did go through it. Where are we today? How far along are we? And how close am I to my next bet? Well, tell you one thing, I'm a lot further away right now than I was when I first came in. So David, I have a question for you. What's the one thing that you figured out in your life that you worked through this whole thing that was very difficult for you, but you still pushed through it? And how did you push through it? And what did you get? What was it? Oh, you have to tell me what it was, but how did you get through it? That's more important.
I want to say two things that I forgot to say. I went to my brother, the lawyer, and asked him for $5. And he said, okay. And then my sick mind says, can I have my mother's money before she died? That same brother, I phoned him. Nobody comes to Winnipeg. He came, a car hit him, he died. How do you think I felt? Blame myself. I got over it. Thank you, Dan. Love you. You're one of the hostess of the mostess. Everybody is the hostess of the mostess. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. All right, Sam.
Hi. Hi, everyone. It's Sam HR, grateful, recovering, compulsive gambler, also a Canuck here. And wow, what a great share, David. When I think about the people who have made a real difference in my recovery, David F., David, Dave, immediate comes to mind. One of the greatest gifts that David has given me is teaching me to use the phone. To teach me to use that phone, the phone I used to spend hours on as a teenager, which suddenly as an adult became the 100-ton phone. So, you know, in the beginning, picking up the phone, it really felt awkward and uncomfortable. But David, you know, you didn't just tell me it was important. You lived it. You called me and I answered. And you called me and I answered. And, you know, it just shows that through those conversations we had, David, you showed me that recovery happens between the meetings too, just as much as it happens in the meetings. And I'm kind of talking to everybody and talking to David at the same time. But, you know, David also taught me something that's changed the way I approach every meeting, and he mentioned it today, learn to listen and then listen to learn. And those words have stayed with me. So instead of thinking about what I'm going to say next, I've learned to really hear what others are sharing. Every person has something to teach me if I'm willing to learn. David, you've also shown me what humility, consistency, and service looks like. You remind me that recovery isn't about having all the answers. It's about staying teachable and helping the next person. And you do that so well. You say there's no graduation, and it's true. And you're living the steps. You're giving service by doing sharing your story and sharing at meetings. That's incredible. So I am so incredibly grateful for your friendship and your guidance and the time that you've invested in me personally. Your impact on my recovery goes far beyond anything that you might even know, you might even realize. And I hope one day I can pass on to someone else what you have so generously shared with me, and to reach out and to listen, to stay connected, and to keep learning one day at a time. So I think the line, learn to listen and then listen to learn, is so especially powerful. And if you can take, there's so many things you can take away from the meeting today from David. And I'm just so happy that you shared with us today. So I love you, brother, so much. And I'll be back and I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Don't know how much you gave me in my recovery, because I phone you, we talk about our gambling, and I just and how for me, if I don't talk about gambling, how I did, how can I recover? You got to talk about to get the crap out. And you've done that. Everybody does that. That's for me, that's recovery. But love you, Sam, so much. So. I love everybody so. I can't say one person. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else want to share? Got a little more time? Okay. Okay. Well, let me say for myself, you are a wonderful gentleman. You have a lot of, you have a burst of energy that's infectious. I love when I come in and you're nice and bright and you're happy and you talk to everybody and you jump and you talk and you jive and talk with us and you dance with everybody, all the ladies. I love that spirit. I love that brightness about yourself. And you have an energy about you. You have an airiness about you that's comfortable. You're confident, you know. You and Dan are like two peas in a pod. You guys make coming in this room very comfortable. You know, I don't care what's going on, what's happening in my life or what's going on. When I come in, I see you guys, I feel so much better. It's like coming home to big brothers, you know, coming home and say, what's going on? They see you see it, you know, because you know the personality is different. Something's going on with you. I love you guys for that. You know, that's why this is our happy family. This is why I love this room, because we pay attention to things like that. We watch each other. We look at each other's moods. We care about what happens to each other. And that's what makes this such a special group, because we really do care for each other. And that makes it a wonderful place to be. Yeah, I can't say it more, because I do love this room. You guys are my true family, and I genuinely love you guys. Definitely helped me get to where I am today. And I love you, David. You know I do. I talk to you all the time when you're in here. You are a special person, and you definitely help all of us. You inspire us. And I want to thank you for being who you are. Okay,
Wait a
anybody else?
minute. Wait a minute. I have a comment.
Oh.
Here's my comment to you. I'm going to take my tricycle and get in shape. And then I'm going to go meet you in your hometown and we'll go dancing.
You'll be fantastic. I would love that.
See, you gotta laugh. I love it. Okay, thank you. Keep going to on the meeting, Denise.
Oh, you are wonderful. Thank you too. You a sweetheart. Okay. Anybody left? Anybody has anything to say while we on here? Come on now. Don't let it fester. Don't take it with you. Joseph, you got to say, I'm a compulsive gambler and I'm here.